Today on Compassion Radio.
We can get training on firearms or driving, case law, arrest, search, and seizure, all those things. But one thing that you're never going to get in a police academy, you're never really going to hear ever being spoken about, is what do you do when you're just completely surrounded by spiritual warfare?
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram takes you with him to the farthest corners of the globe, where he spends time with the people who've been called to share the love of Jesus Christ in the mission field. You know, so many of us are completely unaware of the incredible pressure that our law enforcement officers face on a daily basis. Many of them see more human tragedy in a week than most of us will see in a lifetime. Today on Compassion Radio, Bram talks with Eric and Kim Bauer, the founders of Shield of Hope, a ministry that seeks to be a light to police officers in the communities they serve both here and internationally. You're going to love this very open and honest dialogue with this dynamic husband and wife team. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to join us for part one of that conversation.
We got a couple of good friends sitting around the table with me this afternoon. Eric, Kim Bauer, Lockhart, Texas. You're going to want to know these people because of how God brought them to what they're doing. The story is phenomenal, and you're going to enjoy that today. And, of course, our star of the show is their brand new baby boy, Jacob, and that is a story in itself. Another program, another time, but Kim and Eric, I want to welcome you to Compassion Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Now, you're just an average run-of-the-mill family going to church on Sunday, learning a few things, but that's not really what happened to you guys. The stuff that I've been hearing in the past few years has been phenomenal, and I want it to be known to our listening audience because what you're doing is something that needs to be done in 1,000 places, and there's no way you're going to conquer this entire planet with the ministry that God's put in your lap. You're going to need a lot of help along the way. So tell me the name of your ministry.
The name of our ministry, and I always have a hard time referring to it as our or my ministry because it's not, it's the Lord's, but it is Shield of Hope Ministries.
And Shield of Hope, you're dealing with the spiritual issues of spiritual warfare. It has a root in things that you are trained for because you are a police officer.
Correct.
And how many years have you been policing?
I started in the Air Force in 2001. I did 6 years there as security forces, which is military police. Since November of 2007, I've been with the Austin Police Department in Texas.
And you're one of those fancy motorcycle cops we see on the freeway.
I am.
So you look good in uniform. Kim brags on that quite a bit. So
thank you.
That career is an honorable one. A lot of kids say, that's what I want to be when I grow up. Are you doing the thing that you believe God called you to, or is this something new for you?
As far as being a police officer, it is not something that I thought that I would do as a young child. But as I can see now, after I've been doing it for quite a while, that it is definitely where the Lord's called me to be.
And while he's called you to be there, what kind of ministry opportunities have been falling in your lap just by being in that fraternity of police?
There's not a whole lot of ministries out there specifically geared towards law enforcement. There's certainly not a lot of training or information about the things that officers deal with on a day-to-day basis. We can get training on firearms or driving, case law, arrest, search, and seizure, all those things. But one thing that you're never going to get in a police academy, you're never really going to hear ever being spoken about, is what do you do when you're just completely surrounded by spiritual warfare?
And you believe, from having been there, that cops are going through spiritual warfare on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
How does it manifest itself for you as you're out there on the beat each day?
It just kind of creeps in. Before you realize it, you find yourself in a very dark, miserable place where there's no hope.
Because of the things you're seeing? Because of the temptations that are there? What kind of things are attacking you that bring you to that darker place?
Depending on where you work, of course, there's places where there's higher crime rates than others. For me specifically, working nights in Austin for several years in higher crime areas, you know, everybody that you come into contact with, they're at their lowest point. You don't call 911 just to say, hey, thanks for what you're doing. We'd want to invite you over to the house. We're having lasagna tonight. It's because things have broken down and they've gotten very bad very quickly. And when you are constantly taking call after call where you're responding to these types of situations, where you're dealing with people when they're at the worst places in their lives, you kind of get this idea that that's how everybody is, that everybody that I deal with is a bad person. Everyone's a criminal. Most people are out to get me. In law enforcement, you become very cynical. And the cynicism is what allows you to come home at night. It's what saves your life. But the downside to that is it is also what kills you. It leads to various things such as addictions to alcohol, pain pills, divorce, suicide, things of that nature.
Which are the coping mechanisms or the fruit of the kind of darkness that's growing over time. Now, Kim, let me jump to you real quick. During this time, you're seeing your husband get into a career that the demands and the fruit of that career could be very damaging. Mm-hmm. And you know he's facing a lot of those challenges emotionally, mm-hmm. mentally, spiritually, and of course, having to deal with those things together at home. But you all are in the Lord and you believe. How is this stuff driving the two of you together?
Well, Eric is definitely someone who's more private. At the beginning, he wouldn't really come home and say much. He wouldn't talk about things that he had seen. But there was times where it would just get harder and harder. His relationship with the Lord really grew. I would say 1 or 2 years after you were doing the night shift. When you're raising children and he comes home and he's definitely harder, that's hard. That's hard on your marriage. It's hard on just as a mom to see, okay, daddy's in a bad mood. So everybody be quiet. And if he gets agitated really easily, you feel like you have to just run in and fix things. But that didn't last long with Eric, for sure. Now it's a different story. Now he will open up more. There have been a couple times where some calls have been pretty hard and he's come home. And whereas before he wouldn't even talk about it, he would just say, hey, this is a call that I was on today. And of course, some of these calls are bad. They have to fight. They see death. They see destruction. Now he'll tell me, this is what I came across today. And one was just a really bad call where a younger girl died. She committed suicide. And this is where things really started to change. He looked at me and he said, I wish I could have just hugged her. And he broke down and cried. Anyways, that was definitely different. Because instead of running in and swooping in and trying to help him or with the kids trying to make things better, it was a more sincere pray. Let's pray. What can we do? We can't do anything. All you can do is pray. He's seen a lot of bad stuff. But for that one, he just gave me details of the call. I don't know how these guys do it. It's a calling is what it is. We talked about it and he cried. And that was huge because Eric doesn't cry.
The chances are quite good that amongst the hundreds of radio stations that broadcast this program, that there are some cops or families, both police officers or other kinds of law enforcement that are hearing this program. They know exactly what you're going through. Before I go any further with talking about how God's brought you through that, I would just ask both of you, at this point, when you hit that inflection point, something's got to give, and you knew that was happening. For those who are going through that right now out there, what's the one thing you would say to them as a wife and as a husband?
There was a point where Eric and I struggled with the job. When you're around spiritual warfare, it can really follow you. And there was a situation that we faced, and I was ready to leave. And it was at that point that, first of all, we absolutely love each other. We do. You can't deny that. And we both love the Lord. There comes to be a point where you know that you can't do things on your own again, and you've got to hit your knees, and you've got to pray. It's exactly what happened. We came to a point where we were just saying, what are we doing? We can't do anything. You, Eric, needs to be strong in the Lord and go out there with the armor of God, and I need to know how to support you when you come home.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again whenever it's convenient just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry and check out all the other great resources at CompassionRadio.com.
Hi, this is Bram Floria. For years now, many of you have partnered with us to help support the rescue of abandoned babies in Johannesburg, South Africa through Door of Hope. Thousands have already been adopted, fostered, or reclaimed by family members. But sadly, many have not been so fortunate. Door of Hope has not abandoned these precious lives, and neither will we. In addition to the two baby rescue houses already in existence, Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is now constructing Hope Village, which will feature cottages, a large park playground, a school, a church, a farm, and will eventually be self-sustaining. Kids receive spiritual training and education, along with a marketable skill. Your financial gift will help ensure them a bright and successful future. So please pray and ask God how He would have you to help. Ask Him to show you what your very best financial gift should be. When you give, we'll say thanks by sending you the Psalms in Color coloring book at your request. It's perfect for anyone, especially someone who wants to show their love for God through colorful artistic expression. You can contact us right now by calling 1-800-868-2478. Or you can go to CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, you can reach us at 1-800-868-2478, CompassionRadio.com, or P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you, friends, for your willingness to be a part of what God is doing in the lives of these precious children in South Africa through Door of Hope. God bless you.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
First of all, we absolutely love each other. We do. You can't deny that. And we both love the Lord. There comes to be a point where you know that you can't do things on your own again, and you've got to hit your knees and you've got to pray. It's exactly what happened. We came to a point where we were just saying, what are we doing? We can't do anything. You, Eric, needs to be strong in the Lord and go out there with the armor of God. And I need to know how to support you when you come home. And we got to stop doing things separately.
So you made a choice.
Pray.
Mm-hmm. At that time. And it had to do with prayer.
Right.
Now, was it about just learning how to pray for Eric, or was it something about how you prayed together?
I've prayed for Eric for many, many years. It was different praying together and being broken together and letting the Lord heal together. Mm-hmm. When you get married, to become one. We hear that there comes a point where you truly grow.
During that time, I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. So that was the biggest problem of everything.
And what you knew about him. You had a history.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I did. You know, I went to church. I prayed. I, you know, read the Bible. I knew that Christ had died for my sins and that he was the only way for my salvation. But the difference was that I did not have a personal relationship with Christ. And so that is what has certainly changed everything in my life. Leading up to that, it was all about me. It wasn't about anyone else. And as much as a lot of people like to think that they care for others, they care for their spouses. I would later come to the realization that if I don't know the hope and the love of Christ, how can I ever love my wife the way that Christ calls us to love our wives or husbands? Really, it was just a time of brokenness, sin that I had brought into our marriage, a dark place that I was in, and really just kind of brought Kim to a place of, I'm ready to just give up. I'm ready to leave. I just praise God that she was willing to just get on her knees and give it to the Lord and pray for me. And so God is the only reason why we are still married. He is the only reason why we will continue to stay married, because if it was up to us, selfishness would creep in and we would want to do things our way. If I'm not happy, I look for other things or whatever the case is. But when you're centered individually as a man and as a woman in Christ, and then you bring that into your marriage and you center your marriage around Christ, how can that fail?
Of course, that's a principle that's going to translate well into any situation or any career choice. But obviously, the pressure cooker of life you're in sped up a lot of these experiences and causes that brought these changes for you. And it was a risky, risky time. Was it like simultaneous? Was she praying for you and you responded quickly? Or was there a time lag between when God was moving on one and then moved on the other?
I would definitely say there was a huge lag of years. Kim and I dated in high school. We met in chemistry class.
He was on the football team. I was a little high kicker on the field. Such a...
A very Texan thing.
Yeah, if you're from Texas, that's...
Meeting in chemistry class.
It's not a marriage if you don't do it that way. So Kim has known the Lord from a very young age, and of course I didn't. And so the Lord certainly used her and my life in a huge way to bring me to a place where I would finally come to that point of saying, it's about you, Lord. It's not about me. And so we'll be married 15 years in July. It has been a long time. And I would say really just since the last 6 years or so is really when the Lord got a hold of me and just kind of changed everything. But it was never just a aha And we got it. It was always incrementally, little stages, little things that the Lord continued to work on in different ways.
We had one of our small groups and our pastor came over and we were just talking about prayer. My routine every morning was shower, get ready for work, and that hour. That's my quiet time. That was prayer for him every single morning. In the shower, get ready for work. And then on the way to work. Took him a couple years.
She mentioned one time, as she was saying in a small group, she said that she had been praying for the last 7 years for me. So, you know, in our flesh, we give up very easily. You'll pray for someone for maybe a couple of days or a week. And, you know, if they don't get it, you're like, well, forget it. I've prayed for a week. Nothing's happened. We tend to give up pretty quickly. And that's just for someone that you're not intimately involved with. For her to be married to me and pray for me for such a long time and still have that faith in Christ that I'm just going to keep praying. And I'm
so
not
she married Jesus a lot earlier in life, and she stuck with that commitment first, which of course benefited you directly because of her ability to pursue you in a way that you didn't even know was going to hook you. Now you're a transformed person. What is it like to be fruitful and multiply, have these kids growing up in this household, and also come alive spiritually? Was it something that really surprised you both when you both came alive in Christ, what it did in your family?
I would say absolutely. Eric will say, back when I wasn't running right, that's what he refers to as just not having that relationship with the Lord. I never would have even been with him had I not seen him praying or reading the Bible or say scripture, you know, kind of come and lead here and there. But it was interesting because as soon as Eric did have an aha moment, it was at church one time, as soon as that happened, it was a whole role reversal for us. He really started leading with our kids. It was totally different. Everything changed. And it was hard for me as the wife to say, okay, wait, I got to submit now because he gets it. So
you've been in the driver's seat for quite a while. Like I'm the
right.
spiritual things.
And then it just literally once he got it. Everything changed.
Okay. Now, this is a very general statement, and I believe her because you say life is different now. Give me an example, Eric, of the things that you changed in your choices, your behaviors that she noticed so much.
Well, one thing is the things that I struggled with. The biggest struggle that I had, I was pretty much addicted to pornography. And so that is something that really hurt our marriage. And that was really one of the things that caused her to come to the place where she's like, okay, I'm ready to leave. And the interesting part in there is, you know, we hear this saying all the time that God won't give you what you can't handle. But of course, that's not what it says in Scripture. He says that you won't be allowed to be tempted beyond your means. And in that temptation, I'll give you a way out. And it was very interesting because one thing that stuck out in my mind, when I would have those desires or want to go back to that, I knew if I just got on my knees and cried out to the Lord that it would go away. And there were times where I knew that. But I wanted to do it. And so I purposely did not get on my knees and cry out to the Lord. You would do it. And then you'd have that shame and that guilt. It was a dark place. And again, I was living for myself. The Lord had certainly delivered me from that. And I praise him for that. That, I think, is one of the biggest changes because he took that away from me. Those chains that I had, being chained down by that type of addiction. And it doesn't matter whether it's pornography or alcohol or pills. It's all the same thing. It's designed to keep you from being in Christ. And it ruins.
Or from experiencing anything that's really real.
Correct. I
mean, talk about going through grief, learning how to cry together.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just the better for worse. It is part of the better.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to weep with each other is a great gift.
Right.
And it's one of the things that marriage was designed for, to be able to get to that place where you could be together when it hurts. These kind of addictions and the shame that goes with it are going to keep us away from that moment.
Right.
Which is where God wants to bring us because he knows that's where real life happens.
Mm-hmm.
Our marriages come alive when we actually deal together with the things that hurt us the most.
Right.
I see God having brought you together in a tremendous way and his magnetism pulling you to him. And so it started to flourish. And I saw you around church over the years knowing that there was something flowering there that was beautiful. This is a family that loved Jesus. It was obvious. And her Facebook feed is full of interesting reads. And I look at you and I see a guy that there's more going on below the surface than he's saying right now because he's a fairly quiet guy. And then I start finding out that God's been drawing you in ways of using your experience in police work to go out there and reach other people.
Right.
We only have a couple of minutes in this program to get a taste of this, and we're going to come back to this again tomorrow in the next program. But tell me about what God was beginning to stir in your heart in the work you were doing because of this new life that was growing in your family?
It's funny how the Lord works in different ways and how he sets things up to put you in a place to where he's really going to start using you. One of the ways is that Kim started having neurological issues, which caused her to essentially not be able to work. One thing that we had always discussed and talked about was her being able to stay at home with the kids so that they weren't growing up in daycares and things like that. I see that as definitely being the tipping point. Now, of course, you know, no one would ever say, I hope this is how I'm going to be used. I hope that I'm going to have some kind of a medical thing and, you know, God's going to use
really,
that.
Hurt me.
Right.
People don't say that usually, but he did use that to get you home. And of course, the fruit's happening with your kids now.
Right.
Both your girls are beautiful. They're fun. My kids love playing with them too. And now you've got a brand new one, Jacob here. Has the physical issue with neurological problems, has it resolved some, or is it still a struggle you're going through?
It was definitely a struggle with Jacob. It really caused us to just lean on the Lord even more than we already were. And just having faith, almost ignoring doctor's advice and saying, we're just going to give it to the Lord because we are not in control and we don't have the ability to make these neurological issues not come about. And so it is an act of faith. It is, God, I'm giving this to you. You've created everything and I'm nothing in comparison and you can handle it.
Mm-hmm. I stopped taking anti-seizure medicine because I felt like it was making it worse. Okay. And I will tell you, we had a challenge being pregnant right at the end. We started having issues, that rush of hormones right before you deliver. But we have been doing really well. We haven't had an episode in 2 years. So that's good.
Amen. Yeah. May that continue. Right. And if it doesn't, I know too, you're learning how to lean into each other and on the right. Lord. I don't wish suffering on anybody. And many times in our program, we deal with issues of suffering or persecution. And trying to tell the story of how God has literally brought joy in the middle of suffering is hard for people who haven't suffered to really grasp. Mm-hmm. They get it intellectually. That's something going on there that's important. But no one wants to say to somebody else, oh, if you really want to be close to Jesus, you need to get a disease or you need to go suffer somewhere right. or lose your job or whatever else. We don't wish that on anybody.
Right.
But I have had good Christian friends that have learned to say things like, don't tell people to take care. Tell them to take risks. And what I've seen in your lives is that you've been willing to let God take risks with you, even while there's the threat of some suffering mm-hmm. that might come about or might interrupt you along the way. Mm-hmm. And that to me shows real maturity, that God's matured you as a couple and as a family. You're having to trust Kim that God's going to be using him in this new venture, this mm-hmm. new ministry. And let's touch on that really quickly before we cut off for today's program. The name of the ministry again, Shield of Hope. And as a police officer, I'm sensing that the imagery here is that you want to put a shield over those who are hurting the most and save them from the flaming darts of the evil one. Describe to me why the choice of those images of shield and hope.
The hope is the type of hope that only Christ can provide. In that you are shielded from not just the enemy, but yourself.
So you lead men through that positive path towards real acceptance and understanding and identity in Jesus. You probably assume that God would be using you to reach other cops near you.
Absolutely.
And some of that's beginning. It didn't just stop there. Some of the first places that God really unleashed you to reach law enforcement was in other countries.
Absolutely.
So tell me about the first time you really knew that this thing had traction, that God was going to use you to reach others.
As I was saying earlier, the Lord using her in a way to cause her to be able to stay at home was in November of 2013. And I had learned that our church was going to be going on a mission trip to Honduras during spring break in March of 2014. When I had heard about it before with our work schedules, that was never a possibility. It was never a possibility for me to go anywhere for a length of time because we had two daughters and they needed to have someone there to take care of them. So when that happened, I just simply prayed, Lord, this is something that I would like to do, but I don't want to do it if it's outside of your will. Mm-hmm. And so if this is something that you want me to do, I just prayed that God would provide a way. The cost for that trip was $1,600, and I had just really found out some of the information about just a month or two before. I didn't have an extra $1,600 laying around to go on this, and for that trip, I ended up paying maybe $50 out of my pocket.
Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. If you have a minute, go ahead and take our partner survey. This is a great way for us to learn how to better serve you here at Compassion Radio. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, I'd like to ask you to consider three things. First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? You know, sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the exciting reports Bram brings us from the mission field all over the world. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? We are 100% listener-supported, so your gifts make it possible for us to continue. Now today when you give, we'll send you a copy of the Psalms and Color Coloring Book, a beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color, along with bookmarks and gift tags all centered around the Psalms from the Bible. There are also blank pages for you to color and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. The Psalms and Color Coloring Book is the perfect gift for the person in your life who enjoys expressing their love for God through drawing and coloring. Kids 10 and older, adults, and seniors alike will love this wonderful coloring book. And we'd love to send you a copy of it today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Call us right now at 800-868-2478 or visit CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. When you're there, just click the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We appreciate you. And please be sure to come back again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.